Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty Father and Mother, Giver of life and all good, Sustainer of our being, Maker of stupendous wonders and subtle delights, what a gift it is to realize that it's you who've called us together this evening, you who've been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who feed us, your people, on your word. Lord, let your word become living in us tonight. Let it move in us and through us to establish conditions in our minds, in our hearts, and in our bodies that reflect the reality of our unity with you and your gracious and wonderful presence in our hearts. Lord, let each of us come open-minded, open-hearted, ready and willing to receive what you've given us. We pray this in the name of the Father transcendent, the Word omnipresent, and the immanent Spirit, your divine indwelling. Amen.
Now, staying in that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God and His Word, and I invite you to just keep your minds open and relaxed, to perhaps come to the reading as a child with your minds open and in wonder, to listen to what the Holy Spirit would have us know tonight for our transformation in Christ. Wednesday, the 18th week in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses in the desert of Paran, "Send men to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. You shall send one man from each ancestral tribe, all of them princes. After reconnoitering in the land for 40 days, they returned and met Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the children of Israel in the desert of Paran at Kadesh, and made a report to all of them, and showed the fruit of the country to the whole congregation. They told Moses, "We went to the land to which you sent us. It does indeed flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. However, the people who are living in the land are fierce, and the towns are fortified and very strong. Besides, we saw the descendants of the Anakim there. The Amalekites live in the region of the Negeb. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the highlands, and Canaanites along the seacoast and the banks of the Jordan. Caleb, however, to quiet the people toward Moses, said, 'We ought to go up there and seize the land, for we can certainly do so.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We cannot attack these people. They are too strong for us.' So they spread discouraging reports among the children of Israel about the land they had scouted, saying, 'The land that we explored is a country that consumes its inhabitants, and all the people we saw there are huge, veritable giants. The Anakim were a race of giants. We felt like mere grasshoppers, and so we must have seemed to them.' At this, the whole community broke out with loud cries, and even in the night the people wailed. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'How long will this wicked assembly grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the children of Israel against me. Tell them, "By my life, says the Lord, I will do to you just what you have heard I have heard you say. Here in the desert, shall your dead bodies fall. 40 days you spent in scouting the land. 40 years you shall suffer for your crimes, 1 year for each day. Thus you will realize what it means to oppose me. I, the Lord, have sworn to do this to all the wicked assembly that conspired against me here in the desert. They shall die to the last man. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 106. The response, remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. We have sinned, we and our fathers. We have committed crimes and we have done wrong. Our fathers in Egypt considered not your wonders. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. But soon they forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They gave way to craving in the desert and tempted God in the wilderness. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Then he spoke of exterminating them, but Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Alleluia, alleluia. A great prophet has risen in our midst, and God has visited his people. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The imagination or the imaging capacity of our minds is capable of visualizing or conceiving anything, anything at all. The babies that are born come as wide open consciousness, waiting to be impressed by whatever culture they're born into, whatever socioeconomic level or surroundings they're born into. They take on impressions and they become people that are like those impressions. Just as it is with an individual, so it is also with the entire human race. The process of enculturation, the process of civilization, the process of man Man is not an entity, it's a process. It's a very dynamic process. Has been flowing along through infinite time, the impressions of one generation going on to impress themselves upon the next, going on to impress themselves upon the next. And so down the ages have come the violence, the doubt, the uncertainty, the rapacity, the whatever has come to us from the past. If for some reason we were blanked out right now, as has happened to people with amnesia, they'd be totally receptive to a new identity. Wouldn't have the slightest awareness. In fact, there have been many cases where they have not the slightest awareness of a previous identity, and yet found later to have royal background in Europe, in one case I know of. So the impressionable human being is us, and the reality that we participate in is created of impressions, cultural context that is variable, dynamic, and always, I'm not going to say, attempting to be controlled by us. So I want to do something using our imagination tonight. I want to ask you to back up with me. Take a long camera lens look, not from space toward an object called the Earth, but in time. And I'd like you to notice that as we sit here this evening, we're gathered in faith. Faith has what's brought us here this evening, what has helped us participate in the Eucharist consciously. And faith is what we were given from the generations that went before, from Christ on, and before Christ, back to Moses, and before Moses, back to the founder of faith, Abraham. Now, Abraham is a unique character in that three monotheistic religions have all grown from Abraham. But I want to get up to Moses, because Moses is growing on this vine. And Moses has led the people out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, into the Sinai desert on their way to the, quote, promised land that God had promised them. Now, along the way, there were signs and wonders, boku signs and wonders. They were all over the place. Stuff that shouldn't happen did. And no matter how poetically you think that's expressed, there's not one among us who can say for certain that that isn't exactly what happened historically. It's not exactly what happened. Well, the story unfolds as the people get into the desert and they start to grumble and think, oh, it was better where we came from. Oh, my God, we should have stayed in Egypt. At least we had food. At least we had our flesh pots. It was a good deal, and now you've led us out here into the wilderness. And so God brings manna and feeds them and quail and feeds them and these miraculous events of water coming out of rocks. And every time they doubt, God responds with grace. Every time they fear, God overcomes their fears with plenty. And Moses, being the spokesman of God, is the guy that holds the center for the whole thing. Now remember, he's growing on the vine that God planted in faith, of faith. Faith is the vine on which Moses is growing. Now, holding the center for these people means enculturating them in a new way, bringing to them new values, new possibilities that had never been imagined by people before, by human beings before. A God who was personal and would reveal himself to a man, I am that I am, I'm the what I am. A God that was there and available was never known before. And so here was the first man getting a taste of that, and he's growing on the vine of faith, and he represents the law and the realization that there are some rules that govern human conduct in relationship to other humans and to the source of all existence. And so Moses brings the law, and as such, he's like Dad. You know, Dad's making us all safe, but at the same time, he's holding the rules, and we feel rebellious. We don't like to be told what to do, and so Moses is just really weary of all this, and so God, through Moses, said, this people vexes me, and 40 years you've been wandering around in the promised land, you come back, or 40 days, you come back with all these trophies, these fruits, these wonders of the promised land, and you're still grumbling and afraid. Enough. You guys are getting it. Now remember, the text said, what you have said is what will happen to you. What you have said, in other words, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. The residents of the Promised Land are too big for us. We'll never be able to beat them. They're just all so huge. Now, there's a reason this story is preserved till today. It's not because, well, isn't that a great story of something that happened long ago? It's the story of what is always happening to people who are being called from the bondage of the land of Egypt with our flesh pots and our heavy labor and toil into the promised land of the kingdom of heaven within us. And this archetypal story has symbolic elements within it, each of which represents an aspect of our own spiritual journey, and it really doesn't take much to begin to see that's about us as God touches us with grace and welcomes us out of Egypt with Pharaoh's armies chasing us down. And for me, that was alcohol and cigarettes and wild living. And Pharaoh's army tried to get me, tried to make me realize I can't ever get to the promised land. I'll never get out of my addictions. And then the Red Sea opened. And then I was in a desert. And in the desert, a lot of things happened to keep me going long enough to make it possible for me to taste heaven in the silence, in the company of other people. The heart would open. There'd be moments of grace, moments of understanding, and then, oh, I'm going to be broke. I'll never get out of this situation. I'll never find a woman who loves me. I'll never. God said, okay, have it your way, Tim. Have it your way. As you have spoken, so it will be done unto you. The number 40 appears three times in there, and let's just know, I won't go into it now, but that means completion. Four square, on the ground, completed. For you to be completed, you're going to have to really go through something. If you had just trusted me, if you had just walked into the promised land as I invited you, we could have been over this in no time. But that's not the way it works, because the unconscious has to be unloaded. The baggage from Egypt has to be born, brought up into consciousness, looked at, owned, and surrendered. We have sinned, O Lord. We have not believed that you are real. We believed that our thoughts were real. We believed that cultural norms were real. We believed that the news was real. We didn't believe you, even though you had done wonders to get us this far, even though you provided us with everything we needed, we still can't believe that you're real. We really believe our gripes instead. We believe our doubts. And so we linger while those doubts are brought forward, while they're noticed, owned, lifted up, and surrendered, until we do enter the promised land. And the promised land is the fulfillment of the way of faith. The way of faith is exemplified by Jesus and the Canaanite woman. She comes forward begging him to heal her daughter, which she knows he can, and he resisting her. The traditional idea is that he's calling her faith deeper and deeper and deeper. But what's really going on there is that what started with Abraham went through Moses, went through all the trials of the Judeo movement, has come to fruit in Jesus. Now, you're looking at a cross on the table here with a picture of a crucified man on it. The side that's facing me has a vine ripe with fruit. And Christ is the fruit that grew from the vine that was planted by Abraham, and the fruit that offers itself to you and me in the promised land of our own hearts and in our own souls. Those stories are meant to bring us to life and bring us to new life. They're to help us realize that God is absolutely and utterly real and can absolutely and utterly do anything. The greatest limitations, the greatest seeming obstacles are nothing to God. But they loom large in our awareness, and the Canaanite woman shows us the way. Stick with it. Just keep asking for what you want. Stick with faith. Jesus said to the disciples, I've never seen faith like this in all of Israel. Now let's look at what faith is and where... Could you time me, please? Please. What time is it? Oh. We haven't got a clock up here. I would have wound this up a lot faster. Faith was what characterized Abraham's relationship with existence. Faith is what Jesus healed by. Every single time there was a healing, your faith has made you whole. There's as much faith in this room as there is anywhere in the world. And what has come to us through Judaism, through the early years of Christianity, is an invitation to stand free beyond culture, beyond the slavery to the burdens of having stuff or not having stuff, to live free in a land and a world where God is doing everything and always has been. And nobody has to tell him what to do. And nobody has to beg him for anything. What we have to do is relate to him. To relate to him face to face like Moses did. To relate to him face to face like the Canaanite woman did through Jesus Christ. Each of us has an opportunity for an ongoing face-to-face relationship with the right now God, but it's going to cost us the griping that keeps us in the desert. We're going to have to let go of all the fear that says, well, I can't do this, this won't work. What is faith? Well, Bernadette Roberts says it's the equivalent word for God. It just means God. Here I am. We are all awash in an ocean of God. God within us, in our intestines, in our hearts, in our blinking eyes. God all around us in the world. There's no place that God is not, except in our reflective consciousness and in our emotional armoring, our emotional negativity. Now, those negative feelings, that reflective content that's reflecting fear and doubt and uncertainty, are what keep us in the desert and out of the promised land. To surrender doubt is the invitation of Christ. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Don't take anxious thought for what you'll eat, for what you'll drink, or what you wear. Even the pagans do that. Why don't you just believe me? Why don't you just believe me so totally that you enjoy being you? That you let the promised land be right here, among you always, as it always has been. Unnoticed because the gripes, the complaints, the doubts and fears have become prominent in our awareness, and we haven't noticed, and we haven't remembered the miraculous journey that has brought us this far. That so many obstacles that we thought we'd never get over are just gone. Oh, I remember times in school, I got caught with a history final. It's going to go on your permanent record. It's like having a tattoo. Oh, God. Wow, I got suspended for 3 days. They'll never get out of this. How many things could you never get out of? You're never going to get out of this. And yet you gather here before the communion tonight, whole, free, happy, and available to the miracles that God wants to continue to do in our lives, day by day by day, when we make him the subject of our awareness and not the cultural follies and not the cultural fears and doubts and uncertainties. But faith doesn't require outward signs. Belief may be helped by outward signs, but remember, belief is an intellectual assent. Faith is just life, knowing itself as life on your body, on my body. Faith was what was planted in Abraham. Faith is what resurrected Jesus from the dead. Faith is what resurrects you and me from the false self's hold over our true self. And faith is what lets us live a free life, unconcerned by the circumstances and events of an ever-changing world. God has always been wanting fruit on his vine. God has always been wanting happy, free people. I came that you might have joy, that my joy be in you, and your joy complete. Peace I give you, peace such as the world cannot give you, I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, set your weary minds at rest. Wow. Promised land at rest, or the desert in worry. Second by second, moment by moment, we choose and choose again. And we will do so until our 40 years are up, until that journey of self, moving into Christ, is completed four square. How did I do for time? Okay. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.